And I kept looking at that. and said, before you were born, Jeremiah, I sanctified you.
All right.
I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. That's what verse 5 says. Jeremiah, it wasn't up for debate. It wasn't up for a vote. I chose you.
All right.
I chose you. Interesting, something happens in verse 6 when God says to Jeremiah, you were my choice. Jeremiah said, I can't do that. John said in verse 6 says, he says, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Jeremiah says, I saw the job on the job posting, but I didn't apply for that one. I saw it, God, but that's not what I want to do. I'm not qualified to do that. I'm not able to do that. I cannot do that. And God responds in verse 7.
Come on.
He says, don't say I'm a youth. God begins to say, no. What I say is going to be, is going to be.
Right.
And then he begins
to
tell Jeremiah a little bit about his assignment. He said, Jeremiah, in verse 8, I am with you.
Don't panic.
He said, it was not a request, Jeremiah. It was not a suggestion. But you were my choice to speak the word to the nations. And guess what? I'm going to be with you.
All right. Come on.
He kept looking at that. And Jeremiah said, I told you I can't talk right. And he said, I got an answer for that. Guess what? Verse 9. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. I'll put my words in your mouth. He said, don't worry about it. I got you covered, Jeremiah. Verse 10, he says, now let me give you a little bit more meat and gravy about what your assignment's going to be. And guess what verse 10 says? God wants him to do root up and pull down, destroy, throw down, build and plant. I'm going to set you up with nations and kingdoms, but guess what? It's going to be a hard task. It's going to be a difficult task.
Yeah.
But you're the man for the job.
Yeah.
Why, God? Because I'm with you. And I saw you and I formed you and your mother way before I chose you because you won for the job.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, look at that. So he said, you got to deliver a hard message, Jeremiah. You're going to be my spokesman. Let me tell you how hard your message is going to be. You're going to have to give a hard message to hard-headed people.
My God.
All right.
Sound like a parent. You're going to have to give a hard message to hard-headed people, but don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
He said, it's going to be a hard word, but it's a necessary word. So I kept looking at that. And I was like, what is the message? I kept reading and reading all Jeremiah to get the whole thing because Israel was operating outside of God's will.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, look at that. You got to read the whole thing. And he said, I want you to give them a hard message. I am coming to do. I am coming for judgment. I am coming to correct things. I'm coming to put some things in order. It's a hard word, Jeremiah, but I need you to be UPS. I need you to be FedEx. I need you to deliver the word. They ain't got a sign for it, but leave it anyway.
Yeah.
So the nation was in a bad place. The rich people, they were getting more powerful, not helping the poor. The poor were being treated like slaves. All kinds of things. They were characterized by behaviors that were not becoming of a Christian.
Their
behavior was not, they were displaying, did not indicate that they knew God at all.
All right.
There was robbery going on and murders going on, hatred and envy, all kinds of things. And then they started mixing a little stuff, mixing a little bit of God stuff with the Canaanite religion.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. We want God, but we want this too.
We want
God to be our God, but we want a side God.
Right.
They begin to turn their affections from God to another God. And God said, wait a minute, I need you to choose, because we're not going to have no side chicks. Side gods.
Come on.
Because it feels like one was a side, this was not enough for you, so you got to go get you a side. Famine began to happen, and pestilence began to happen. Israel was in a bad way.
Well,
he said, you're doing things that are profitless. But read the whole thing of Jeremiah. He kept saying, my people.
Yeah.
He never denied them.
My people.
They're rebellious, but they mind. They are stubborn, but they mind. They don't listen well, but they mind.
Yeah.
Come on.
Read that whole thing. He said, there's not going to be room for two of us in your one heart. Two gods can't be in one heart.
That's
true. So he said, Jeremiah, I only have one message. Go and tell them that judgment is coming. So Jeremiah had to go tell the message. Didn't want to do it, went to do it. The guess what? The people did not adhere. They didn't hear his counsel. They didn't want to hear. He began to be shunned by the people. He began to be mocked by the people. Even the priests and prophets, they didn't want to hear it. Uh-oh.
Come on, come on.
Even they didn't want to hear what he had to say. He said, seek God again. Love God again. Be clean. Be delivered. God turn it around if you repent. And nobody listened.
Well.
Have you ever given a message to your family? And it was a message that God told you to give them, and nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody was listening. So he broke out. I know the story. Some people say he's a weeping prophet. Some people say he's a crybaby. Yeah. But I think Jeremiah just had a heart of love.
Right.
Jeremiah
right.
loved the nation. He loved the people. And his heart was broken that God was saying, I've got a better way. And they said, no, we good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It broke the heart of Jeremiah. That how is that God said he has a better way and that he wants to turn it around for us and bless our nation. And we're saying, we good. But even in his frustration, Jeremiah kept telling the people. They threatened him. He could get all kinds of things happen. Jeremiah said, I still got to tell it because I love you. Sometimes you got to tell folk truth when it hurts you. And they don't want to listen.
Come on.
Jeremiah kept telling the story. And he kept telling the story. If you get a chance, read Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah was frustrated to no end. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and have a sleep. I don't want to waste my time. This is hopeless work. This is not getting me anywhere. Have you ever said that to yourself? You know what? I'm tired of trying. You don't want to listen. I'm throwing my hands up. Come on. I mean, somebody said that about us.
They're
tired of talking to you. You're not listening. So Jeremiah said, this is hopeless work. This is meaningless time. This is not getting me anywhere. They don't want it, God. I'm going to go sit down. I'm not going to mention your name. Come on. I'm not going to mention your word. I'm not going to mention your name. Jeremiah went sit down. And he said, something happened. Jeremiah said, wait a minute. I tried not to talk about him. I tried to be disobedient. I tried to be rebellious. I tried to not do what he said. He said, but it was like fire. Shut up in my mouth. He said, no, his word was like fire. All day. He said, I tried to leave the people. He said, but I was compelled to do it.
All right.
In my heart to do it. You know, have you ever had a time where you say, you know what, I'm not going to forgive? You say, I'm not going to speak to someone, so I'm not going to do it. But guess what? When it's like fire.
My Lord.
I was compelled to do it because of the God that was in my heart.
All right.
Okay.
Jeremiah, what are you saying to us today? I'm going to look at that. Look at 4 through 6. We closed it already. Look at that. I know you don't believe it. 4 through 6. Something begin to happen. Come on, Viv. Something begins to happen around 4 through 6. The potter, God says to Jeremiah, he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm trying to understand you. I'm trying to communicate something to you. I'm going to restore the people. I know they're in a bad way. I know they're not doing according to God's plan and everything. He said, but there's restoration, Jeremiah. There's hope. And he's trying to give Jeremiah the message. Jeremiah still wasn't getting the message. He said, let me paint you a picture.
All right.
Okay.
Let me paint you a picture, Jeremiah. He said, let me see how I can make it clearer. Oh, arise. Go down to the potter's house. Go down to the potter's house. He said, Jeremiah, I don't want you to talk.
Uh-huh.
He said, I just want you to listen. I want you to observe the potter at work.
Come on.
Go with me. Observe the potter at work. He said, look at it. The potter in verse 4, he said, that in verse 3, he said that the potter was making something.
Come on.
Potter was making something.
All right.
Doesn't say what the potter was making, but he was making a something. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
God had something in mind. The potter, that's God. The potter had something in mind. We don't know what the potter had in mind, but there was something, in this case, Vivian, that she had in mind. Y'all see that? God says, The potter. He was something in mind. Didn't share with anybody. But the potter had an intention.
Yeah. Right.
The potter had an intention. He was working out something, and so she was making a pottery, and she had a plan that nobody knew about. That's why he said in 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans my thoughts toward He said, I know I'm God. I've got an intention. I've got an expected end for you. And he said, now what will happen is the end result will come by way of the process.
All right.
So he says, here it is. I am God. I am the potter. I have an intention. He says, what that means is that you can see that the potter has absolute authority.
All right.
He took it back to Jeremiah 1 a little bit ago. Jeremiah 1 said, didn't talk to your mama about it, didn't talk to your dad about it, but I knew the day I wanted you to come.
Right.
Formed in your mother's womb,
right.
And guess what? You're here. They were vehicles, but I wanted you here. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, so even back then, I have absolute authority. Mm-hmm. It appears that the potter has absolute authority and rule and reign over the... Y'all saying what I'm saying? What I'm saying. There is an idea. There is an idea in the potter's mind. There is a thought toward you in God's mind. Even before you knew God, you were a thought in his mind. He conceived what you would be way before.
Come on.
Look at the potter. Y'all see the potter? Y'all see the potter working? I mean, she's a craftsman. The potter is a craftsman. Seems like the clay in and of itself can't do nothing by itself.
Right.
The potter has absolute authority
over
the clay. Look at that. Everything that the clay will be,
it's designed by the potter.
And so I believe there is an intention. So that looks like a blue bowl in here. The problem is, how is the potter going to get what's in the white bowl to look like the blue bowl? Oh, looks like a mess. How is the potter's thing in the white bowl, but the potter's intention is to make what's in that bowl become that bowl? God help me. The potter cannot do it. When the potter is done doing it, on the bottom of the bowl, it won't say made in China. It'll say God did it. In the right place, in the right hands, but marred.
Yeah.
Blemished. Yeah. How that the clay is disfigured when it's in the potter's hands. Look at that. Look at that, Israel. How did you get disfigured? How did you get marred in the potter's hands? And I remember this from, I preached my first sermon many years ago. And the Lord had me preach, what you need is in the process. Not what you want, but what you need is in the process. The clay will have to go through some things in order to look like this bowl.
Come on.
The clay in the bowl has no idea what it's going to become. The clay in the bowl is nothing much to be desired of, and guess what? That's what God has to work with, clay. God has to work with worthless dirt. Oh my God. Maybe y'all know what that means. God had to, right in the middle of his assignment, right in the middle of his making the clay, God was interrupted by Mark. Was interrupted by blemish. The clay was God's choice, but something, some kind of way, interrupted it. Look at that, look at that, look at that. So I'm asking myself, if the truth of the matter be told, if we stop and look and be honest, what is it that stops the progress that God has for our life? Somebody say sin. It was marred, it was disfigured in the potter's hand. But guess what's so awesome? The potter never abandons the clay. When it's marred. Look at her hand. She never abandons the clay. She has something in mind. It is marred. It is blemished. And she is steady at work.
All right.
She's steady at work. God said, wait a minute. I done put a lot of work into you. I done put a whole lot of work into you. I see you can't fix yourself. Guess what? So I'm still going to keep on working with you.
All right.
Come on, somebody. I'm going to still keep on working with you. The truth be told is every now and then, we get off the wheel.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Every now and then, we get outside of God's wheel.
Amen.
And when you get outside of God's W-I-L-L, you got to get back on God's W-H-E-E-L.
Right.
Get back on the wheel so you can be on target, on plan for what God has designed for our lives. Look at this. Stay on the wheel. It's not always a comfortable process, but you need the process.
Yeah.
God says when the clay becomes uncooperative, Jeremiah, when Israel becomes uncooperative, when Bethsaida, when limestone, when my people become uncooperative, what I have to do is I have to make a plan.
I have to make a process.
As Carlos would say, they're not malleable. They're not pliable. They are too resistant. They're not easily responding to me. So I'm going to have to make them a little bit more pliable. So the potter continues to work. Y'all see, baby? The potter continues to bend. It's not bending freely. I need to think about that. I say, you know what? It takes a long time for us to mature as believers.
Come on.
Jesus, how it takes time. See how much time it's taking? She's still trying to make the same place she started out with 10 minutes ago. It takes a long time to mature as a believer.
All right.
She got to get the lumps out. Man, it takes skilled hands. It takes patience. Don't think you're going to know more than one scripture overnight.
Right.
We gotta take skill and it takes patience and time and let me say it a different way. You gotta go through some things. Pastor said the other day, stay out of my sermon. He was talking about don't let your success mess up. Y'all remember that? Don't let your success mess up your preach. Y'all remember that?
So
I was thinking about this play in this sermon. And I said, wait a minute. What he really said was God took something ordinary, and did something extraordinary out of it, so we can't forget we're a lump of clay.
Yeah.
You've done a few good things. You've got some wins, you're doing some great things in the community. But don't forget, you are still. God said, I'm after some stuff. I'm after produce some things in your life. But guess what? Guess what I have to work with? Dirt.
All right.
If you're going to be useful, I got to take you through something. There is no such thing as a Christian walk without trouble.
All right.
There is no such thing as a Christian journey without persecution.
Yeah.
If he said you want to get to where you to be, you will have to go through the process.
Amen.
He said, but look at the choice Paul had. The choice Paul's is, wait a minute. Y'all read that in verse 4? He said, wait a minute. I see his mark in my hand. I got to make a choice.
Well.
Do I throw it away? Or do I make it again?
All right, all right.
Do I start over? Or do I discard it?
My Lord.
Thank God he kept his hands on me. He kept his hands on me. Man. I need you to understand that. He said, you're going to look different, but I got to get the lumps out.
Yeah.
There's going to be a better day coming, but I got to get the lumps out. You got to be talked about sometime. You got to have some disappointments sometimes.
Yeah.
You
got to
have some bad days sometimes. Look at that. Where is that? What is God really saying? I got so mad one time. Because I was at my former church a long time ago, and boy, I was just moving in ministry, and then God was using it, and awesome things were happening, and my pastor stopped letting me preach for a while.
Okay.
And so people started saying stuff like, I don't know why he wants to preach no more. Yeah, he's just jealous. He's just jealous because you can preach. He's just jealous. And I'm going, why? We've never heard of you. Four weeks passed by, 6 weeks passed by, 8 weeks. We never get to Cheryl. How come Cheryl don't preach? Da 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 da. And so guess what? I start listening to my friend. Y'all.
Come on.
This is a real church here, right? This is a real church that serves a real God. Right. They got real issues, right?
Right.
And so he gets up, I'm sure I'm going to get it. And I'm going to say, you know what? Yeah. You know, that is right. And so I went, because guess what? When you forget your dirt, God will bitch you.
Yeah.
When you forget you are very clay, guess what? The coach will say, come on over here and sit on the bench. Because you've forgotten yourself.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want to tell the truth in here today. God said, come on, Mike. The coach will bench you.
Yeah.
But you forgot it's not about you.
Right.
It's always about me.
Right.
As far as I can see, the clay in and of itself can't do nothing for itself.
Yeah.
God told the pastor, bitch.
That's real.
How dare a pastor bitch? That was wrong.
Yeah.
Well.
And every now and then I see him, I thank him.
Yeah.
He had to check my spirit.
Yeah.
He said, let me help you, boo. Let me help you sit right here next to me. Yeah. I got to train your spirit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's real.
He said, the choice was always mine. I saw you in your mother's womb before I put you in there. The choice was always mine. Yeah. And when you mourn, guess what? I need to make another choice.
Come on.
To discard you or to remake you.
Right.
Yeah.
My goal is not to hurt you, but to make you a vessel for you. Tell me somebody.
Yeah.
Look how beautiful. Yeah. Oh, look at the work that went into that. Somebody had to do some work.
Uh-huh.
To make that work. Look at that. How beautiful. But she ain't nowhere close. That looks brown, that looks blue.
Yeah.
Well,
what process will that clay have to go through? Tell me. I remember when Billy Graham said, we've been made, we've been marred, and we've been made again.
Uh-huh.
He said, what I'm really saying is that our whole lives are a complete wreck until God remakes us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Worthless clay, forming and she's shaping. And guess what? She said, the God saying, Israel's going to be different, but I got to take them through the process, Jeremiah. It's going to be, they're going to live through it, but I must take them through.
You're right.
They'll be different after the progress. So I'm saying to us today, what is it? What is it that God is trying to do in our lives? What's amazing about this story, if you look at it, is that I'm surprised at what God can do with what he has to work with.
Come on now. Yeah.
I don't even understand it. I am amazed at what God can do with what he has to work with. Start with your pastor and wife.
Come on.
Who does that? Who comes up with a plan? Who puts a church in a man that's a thief? Y'all missed me. The pastor shares some of his testimony. Thief, juvenile delinquent. God puts a church in it. Y'all missing me. I'm surprised at what God can get done with the stuff that he
did. I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, let me hear you.
I hear you.
I'll pick up somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say this. Starting with the deacons of this church. Starting with the musician of this church. I got a real friend over here. Starting with my friend Ernest over here. He said, I'm going to smoke dope the rest of my life. I'm surprised that God can get anything done when we can win it wrong. With the stuff that God used, I'm surprised of what he gets done.
All right.
Who takes the player of my hair and make them a deacon? Who does that? Who does that?
Well,
I have absolute authority and absolute ability.
Right.
Right.
What was before he met me? He won't be after he met me.
Right.
What
right.
she was before she met me, she won't be after she met me.
Because
I'll put her on the wheel. And I will make something different if she yields and stays on the wheel.
All right.
Stay on the wheel.
Come on now.
Don't deserve to be on the wheel. But on the wheel. Don't deserve to be on the wheel. I look at that. We talk about this at work every day. And I saw research. I said, God, how you want me to do this? Because they want us to help people that walk in our doors find their fullest God-given potential. That's our motto at work. When families come in the door, domestic violence. When families come in the door, hungry. When families come in the door, stealing their food stamps. When families come in the door, cheating on their taxes. When families come in the door with sexual abuse on their record. When families come in, y'all don't know nobody.
Come on.
When families come in over all of their brokenness, Cheryl, Bunker, Family Hope Center, y'all's job, you got one job description. Help them reach their fullest God-given potential. What the world? Yes, I know you know what I'm talking about. The one that came in the other day, and he's a he, but he was dressed like a she, and what you call her, Shaniqua. That one. Yeah. Make that one, Cheryl. Take him all the way to his God-given full potential. Yes, Cheryl. You know what I'm talking about, that one. The rapper that came by the other day, and you know in the community, he's selling drugs and destroying the community. That one. They came in for food, and y'all missed it. And you got the power to say, no, he can't have no food, because I know what he's doing, and I don't like him right now. Take him, Cheryl, to his God-given
full attention.
Take it to his God-given potential. That's what the potter's doing.
Right.
I'm looking at what you can be. Robert. You don't look like what you're going to be, Robert. But that's the song you sang, Robert. He said, there is a potential. In the word potential is the word potent. There is a place that you can fulfill where you will produce in God's kingdom. You will be most profitable in God's kingdom when you're operating in that place.
Right.
Look at that. How do we get to that full potential? How do we do that? How do we do that? And so I begin to pray and get a research. Now, how do we get them to their full potential? And God says, first thing you want to do, you must start having some Bible studies. So I started having Bible studies starting this month. And we're going to tie life with scripture.
Okay.
So we're talking about anger. We're going to talk about anger with scripture.
Yeah, that's good.
We're talking about grief. We're going to tie grief with scripture.
Yeah.
You mad? You got unforgiveness? Whatever you were dealing with, you got sexual abuse in your background, you've been raped, all those things. How do we move them to a scripture so they can be potent? Okay, let me say it this way. Because their pain can become power. Their tragedy can become triumph.
Right.
And so we got to walk them through like the pot. Look how patient.
Ain't never stop.
Look how patient.
That's real.
I don't know about some of y'all.
That's
God
real.
Is patient with me.
That's real.
Look how long suffering. Look how long suffering is. I gave you the same message 2 weeks ago, and you still didn't get it, but I'm long suffering. I gave you that same message last month, but you still didn't. I'm long.
I'm
trying to get you in third grade, but you're still in second grade. I'm long. Trying to get you on May meeting state. Guess what? Got to go back to milk again. I'm long. God, be patient with us. And guess what? Look at what the end. And the end was of these that God that declares the end from the beginning. He and sees what it's going to be. So he knows what's necessary to move you from the bold to look like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He
yeah.
knows what trials to put. Oh, that's their trials. Oh, yep. We want to be blessed, Sister William. We don't want trials.
Yeah.
I know exactly what trial to put you through that won't kill you.
Right.
And look at the beautiful bowl. Look at the end result. You will be useful. All
right. You're right.
For the kingdom. I'm done talking. But if we don't stay on the wheel, I'm afraid we'll walk around like crackpots. Uh-huh. That's why we got crack children. We got crack parents.
Yeah.
And we got crack marriages.
Yeah.
Oh, we got crack churches and we got crack pastors. Because we didn't stay on the wheel long enough. Thank God that the pastor said in my old church, baby girl, guess what? You're going to be rich because you crack and leaking.
Come on.
Sometimes we got to be careful putting some things that some people in positions that they might not be ready for.
That's real.
Okay. If you have not gone through enough life experiences, you will not be able to what? Embrace the process. There's got to be a time make attitude. Baby, take a licking and keep on taking it. Stuff happens in life. How do we respond to those things and embrace that as part of my process? Because there's a me that I don't even see yet. There's a plan that I don't even see. It's in the mind of the potter.
Yeah.
It's conceived in the mind of the potter, but I have yet to see it manifest. Guess what? I got to stay on the wheel.
Right.
Stay on the wheel. I can look at that. I said, all the way back to Genesis. I said, we've been doing this a long time. God made us in Genesis.
Yeah.
We got barred in the garden. Y'all remember that?
Uh-huh.
Remember what God said? We got made. God created man, took woman out. We were made in Genesis. And in garden, guess what? Got marred. That's been our history. That's been our reputation. Made by God in his image. On display for his glory. Marred. Always doing something opposite of what God wants us to do.
Right.
Don't eat the tree. Oh, well, we don't eat it anyway. We just gonna sample it. We don't want the whole tree, God. We just gonna take a sample.
Yeah.
Mar. And God had to what? Remake us.
Right.
You're right.
When did he remake us? When Jesus went to the cross.
Right.
He said, I got to redeem man back to myself. You've always done things. You've always wanted me in a side, God. He said, now I'm calling you to choose today.
Well.
He said, I'm going to remake you. Guess what? Made provision on the cross for you to be remade. Made over again.
Yeah.
I'm the power. And I'm going to put you back
together.
Again. What is it that God wants to do that's profitable in your life? What is it that he wants to produce in your life? I said earlier, they were living a profitless life. Doing everything against what God told them to do. And he said, I want you to go from profitless to profitable in my kingdom. Where are you assigned to make a difference? Where are you assigned to make a difference? It's important that we get on the wheel and stay on the wheel. Well, Potter, our story's about to end. But you've been working that for a long time. And what's so great about the potter is that the potter's got hope.
Yeah.
Potter's got hope.
Yeah.
And so he wanted Jeremiah to say, Jeremiah, I know you're feeling hopeless. You think they're not going to get it? He said, there's hope. Yeah. I'm going to restore Israel.
Uh-huh.
He said, but you're going to have to, I got to work through this process first. I know you wanted the herald to be over. I know it's been painful. You've been shunned and mocked by people. He said, but guess what? I'm making you too.
Yeah.
I'm making you into the vessel that I want you to be. And so when I am through, guess what? This is just not about a pretty bowl. He said, it looks beautiful, but you wouldn't make us sit on the ship.
Come on.
If I brought my beautiful flower, you have a useful, meaningful purpose. I went through all of that for something.
Yeah.
The Bible says he was making something. What is God making?
Yeah.
Look at that beautiful display. What a beautiful bowl it is.
And I was going to make it a little bit heavy so we can see that the weight is just the glory that God displays in our life. When folks look at you and say, wow, look at God's glory on your life. Mm-hmm. I know what you used to look like, Clay.
Yeah.
I know where you come from.
Yeah.
On the other side of the track.
Uh-huh.
And look at you, that you got some weight on you now.
Yeah.
You got some weight on all that you've been through. He said, I worked with you all through that.
Yeah, yeah.
I remade you. Look how patient. Look how attentive. The beautiful thing is, the potter never abandoned.
Right, right.
All the time, even when I was marred, kept his hands on me. Kept his hands on me.
Yeah.
Even when we being marred, and she's making it, and lumps are in it, and there's some rocks in there, some things that ought not be, and she continues just to remake it. Make it again, scripture just said, into another vessel that seems fit for who? Seems fit for the master. I'm not making another vessel that seems fit for you.
Yeah.
No. I'm making another vessel that seems fit for me.
All right.
And she's so attentive and taking her time. She's a craftsman. God, so I know exactly how much pressure to apply.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly how much water to put in. Mm-hmm. I know exactly how much you can take. Yeah, we got some song already. He knows how much I can bear. But guess what? My life is in his hands.
You're right.
He knows how much that is, and the will continues to spin.
Yes.
The will continues to spin, but don't make a mistake and get off the wheel. Because you'll miss, and will miss, the design that God had in mind way before your ring came.
All right.
Way before. Hard times are going to come. Disappointments. Yes. Guess what? We need those.
Mm-hmm.
I know we don't like being talked about, but we need them.
Mm-hmm.
But God is showing Jeremiah and the children of Israel, everything you've been through, all of it wasn't me. Some of it you cost yourself. Some of it you caused yourself.
Yeah.
I'm so much God until I take what you did and still work it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll still rework it, even your own choices.
Yeah.
There's some things I allow,
right.
But there's some things you call. So he said, so I'm going to still work it for you.
Thank you, Lord God.
Who is it that God is today saying it's time to be remade? We're in the potter's hands.
Yeah.
Maybe we've gotten off the wheel. We got marred in his hands. Made some choices, did some things.
Right.
And we got to say, wow, I got to go back to the wheel, God. I see you. I'm marred in your hands, so thank God I'm still in your hands.
Yeah.
You haven't abandoned me. You haven't left me. Your love is still the same. Your love is consistent. I don't even understand that kind of love. Your love is consistent when I'm inconsistent.
Yeah.
Your love is loyal when we are not loyal. Your love is reckless love.
Yeah.
Right.
Who loves like that? But they will walk with you all the way from earth to glory. Who does that? Thank you, Ms. Carter. Thank you. You're doing a good job.
Amen.
Thank you. You're doing a good job. Look at
amen.
That when I gave her the initial thing, it was in one form.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From the moment I gave it to her to now, it's what? It's another form.
All right.
We call that one what? From glory. Come on. To glory. Come on. To glory.
Yeah.
To glory.
Come on, son.
Yeah.
Our lives are going from glory to glory.
Right.
I know him better now than I did last year.
Yeah.
I know him better now than I did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Glory to glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving, making progress.
Yes.
God is moving, making progress. God. Here it is. Thank you, Paul. What a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And when she would have, she'd gone through the whole process, the stuff in the middle that you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
If she'd gone through the whole process, we would have seen all the changes that the bowl had to go to.
Yeah.
And when she's got to a point, well, even when she was almost done, if it was marred or had rocks or chips in it, she would have to do what? Remake it all over
again. Yeah.
That takes patience and perseverance.
Yeah.
She's a craftsman. Claude said to me, I'm done. Claude said to me this morning, are you going to use me in the sermon again? Like you did. I said, Claude, you're always in the sermon.
Yeah.
Because I remember. We're talking about being marred.
Yeah.
John says it like this. He says, if you think you don't have sin, if you think you don't have marred,
mm-hmm.
He said, you deceive yourself.
right, all
right. Claude said, come all the way clean. Sister Williams is in. Sister Williams, I filed. I took them all.
Yeah.
You think you have no more? He said, you deceive yourself.
Yeah.
And the truth is not in you.
Yeah.
But, thank God for but.
Amen.
But if you confess your sins, he said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you.
Right.
And cleanse you from all.
Yeah. So you're right.
Thank you, Lord God.
Yeah. I'll clean
you. Thank you, Lord God.
Absolute authority. But I have absolute ability.
Uh-huh.
What I had in mind is still going to happen.
Yeah.
What I intended, and the part of intent, is still going to happen. Don't care what happened. I remember when I thought, I said, God, you made some promises. There's some things you put in on my life. But this thing's happened, and this happened. God said, it's still going to happen. Because what I intended, my design, my plan, is still going to happen. Irregardless of what did and did not happen.
Okay.
What I have planned, because I am an absolute authority, I don't have to call Trump about nothing. I don't have to Congress vote about anything.
Right.
I cannot be vetoed and I cannot be impeached. I'm the sovereign God.
Yeah.
Well.
And what I have planned and intended for your life, it was my design. It was always about me. And guess what? It's still going to happen.
Amen.
Even when the enemy tries to take you out, it's still going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm the sovereign God. Come on, sisters. What is God's design? What is his plan? Do we need to get back on the wheel today? Because there's a process that we need. Not that we often want.
Right.
But there's a process that we need. And so I want you to be malleable, I want you to be pliable. I want you to be bent easily. It shouldn't be a struggle for me to get a yes. It shouldn't be a struggle.
You're right.
For me to get a yes out of you. I want you to be easily compliant.
Yeah.
Not resistant to what I'm doing. Because guess what the result is? Guess what the good news is?
Yeah.
Come on.
He said, the bad news is, I got to work with clay. I got to work with mud. But guess what? The more she kept stirring it, the softer.
Come on.
If we let it sit and stick, it'll become hard. He said, I don't want your heart to be hard. But then you hear my voice.
Yes.
Heart, not your heart. I want you to be soft, compliant, and readily, at any given moment. I said to Vivian, thank you for doing an illustration for me this morning. Ms. White. She said, I move God to ask you questions every day. And I answer him yes.
All right.
I just told her one time when he was with us, she said yes. She said, I want God every day to give me something that challenges me to say yes.
Yeah. Come on.
I said, stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel, baby. He's making something. Wow. What is my fullest God-given potential? What does that look like? I'm excited for the journey. What does that look like? It's bigger than a job. It's bigger than a career.
What is God asking?
Yes. When they brought me out and said 8 pounds and 4 ounces, what was on God's mind? When your children are pregnant, what did God have in mind? When he blew pregnant to their body.
Yeah, what is his word?
Come on now.
Because some babies didn't make it, so why did your
right,
baby make it?
Right.
What was his plan? Some of us in here testified that we tried to take our own selves out, and God said not so.
Yeah.
Why? Why did he give us the gift of breath? Why did he give us another chance? Why did he remake us again?
Yeah.
Who needs to get back on the wheel? Anybody needs to get back on the wheel? We've been in our own chairs. God, we've got to.